The book of Jeremiah begins with the calling of the prophet Jeremiah. Now, there are some things that we know about Jeremiah. We know from verse 1 that Jeremiah was the son of a man named Hilkiah. Hilkiah was a priest in the land of Benjamin. We know that Jeremiah received the word of the Lord at a specific time, verse number 2, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Say, what's important about all of that? It was not a good time in the nation of Israel's history. It was a time when the nation was being overrun by its enemies. Let me put it like this. It was a time when if you had looked at it from the outside looking in, you would have said that God's people are losing. God's people were being taken captive by the enemy nations. There was a great rebellion going on, and even in the midst of God's people, there was a large swath or group of people that were turning against God actively every day. It was a tough time. And in verse number 4, the Bible says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me." Here's Jeremiah living his life in what could be perceived as one of the hardest times to ever be a child of God. And in that time, not only was Jeremiah a follower of God, a worshiper of God, trying to do right, but Jeremiah received a particular and special calling on his life. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, which is one who speaks as the Lord speaks to them. And here's what God told him, verse number 5. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." God said, "Hey, Jeremiah, you don't know this, but way back before you was ever born, when you was in your mama's belly, I decided you was going to be my prophet." Can I tell y'all something about the Lord? Nothing catches him by surprise. Amen. It's not as if God, when God needs someone to speak, he has to go around and tap everybody on the shoulder and say, "Hey, are you up for it? What do you think? You think you can pull it off?" God has designed this thing way before we ever got an understanding of what was going on. Amen. Look at what Jeremiah responded in verse number 7. But the Lord said unto me, in verse number 6, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Now, we know that, we don't know, I'm sure there's some commentator somewhere that thinks he knows exactly how old Jeremiah was right here. But it don't say how old Jeremiah was. But he was young enough that he thought he was too young. His excuse, why, by the way, that's not a reason, that's an excuse. There are no reasons to ignore the calling of God. There's only excuses why you don't want to accept the calling of God. That's what's going on there. And so Jeremiah says, "Lord, I can't do it. I'm too young. I'm a child. Wait a minute now. God just said I called you when you were still in your mama's belly." I'm pretty sure God knew exactly how old Jeremiah was. Y'all, are y'all listening to me? Because here's what happened. God will put something on your heart and he'll say, "But Lord, you don't understand. You don't understand my circumstances." Can I tell you something? God knew what your circumstances were going to be before you did. "You don't understand what I'm going to have to do, Lord." Oh, God knows. Verse number 7, "But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." God told Jeremiah, he said, "Listen, here's what you need to know. You're going to go where I tell you to go, and you're going to say what I tell you to say." Notice some things here. God is not giving him all the outcomes. You can go study the rest of the verses. He says some other stuff, but he don't say, "Hey, this is how it's all going to work out." God does not tell him everything that he ever is going to need to know in that moment. Here's what God says. You go where I tell you to go, say what I tell you to say, and we'll get where I want you to get. I believe it's time that the church answers that call. We've been trying to fix this thing for way too long. We've been trying to stand in the place of God without the Word of God, based on our own morality and our own desires and how we think things ought to be, for too long. The reality is, it's time for the church to decide, and we're just going to go where God tells us to go and do what God tells us to do and say what God tells us to say, and we're going to let God be God and handle the outcome. But here's the deal. Jeremiah was being called to a speaking ministry. The ministry of a prophet is a speaking ministry. Can I say this? Every Christian has a speaking ministry. And what do you mean? If you don't tell nobody about Jesus, then how are they ever going to know about it? Our ministry is a speaking ministry. I prove it to you. Here's what Jesus said. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You can't preach the gospel without opening your mouth. Hey, listen. That's part of it. We have a speaking ministry into this world. We have been called to say something about what's going on. Are y'all with me? Say amen. And just like Jeremiah, we have been called in a time when, if you looked around, if you were a conscientious observer and you looked around at this world, you may would say that God's people are losing. I mean, everybody's got an opinion right now because we just had an election, but let's back her up to October of 24 and tell me how you feel then. Can I tell you something? Trump can't stay in there for four more years. I'm telling you right now, he ain't going to save America in 4 years without the help of God.
Amen.
And the help of God is going to come from the church, or it's not going to come. Amen. Are you hearing me? God's people are either going to stand and answer the call in these last days, or we're not. The reality is, we are either going to do what Jeremiah did and go where God told him to go and do what God told him to do and say what God told him to say and have an impact on our world, or we are not. And can I tell you something? There is no promised outcomes here. I don't know what it's going to look like 10 years from now. I don't know what it's going to look like 20 years from now. I don't know if America's going to stand or fall. I don't know if these nations are going to go to war. I don't know what the world is going to look like, but I do know this, that 10 years from now, God will still be God. And 50 years from now, God will still be God. Hey, listen, and 10 million years from now, God will still be just as much God as he's ever been. Therefore, his calling is our purpose, not the outcome.
Amen.
But you say, preacher, over the next few verses, God tells Jeremiah, bad stuff's going to happen. And go study it out. He said, hey, here's the deal, Jeremiah. Not only is it not going to go the way you want it to go, but I'm going to actively send my enemies to come get you, to come take the nation of Israel captive. That's coming. Hear me out right here. I know that many in the church in our day are looking for some kind of a hippie revolution in the church where the whole world just jumps in on what we're doing and everybody's just on fire for God and all this stuff. Hey, listen, that would be nice, but that's probably not what's going to happen. Let me tell you what's going to happen. What's going to happen is there's going to be some small groups of people all across this world that get on fire for God, and this is currently happening right now. If you had a thermal heat map that could tell you where there are some people that are on fire for God, and you look across the countryside, you'd see a little dot here and a little dot there and a little dot here and a little dot there in Western Africa and Burkina Faso, where Keith Shoemaker's planting churches. You'd see a little hot spot there and a little hot spot there. You say, what is that doing? That's keeping this world afloat.
Amen.
Amen.
But nobody ever said it was going to be easy.
But here's the thing. Here's what I'm getting at this morning. Somebody's going to have to answer the call in our day. You know what God needed from Jeremiah more than anything? Is for Jeremiah to say yes. Church, hear me out right here. I ain't sure if we're catching traction yet or not, but I'm going to preach this message. Y'all just hear me out right here. You know what God needs from you? More than He needs you to give a big offering, more than He needs you to sing a song, more than He needs you to be something special, more than He needs you to be popular. You know what God needs from you? Young people, you know what God needs from you in your lifetime? Just say yes.
That's right.
God needs some people that'll answer the call. I don't know what the calling on your life is. I don't know what God needs from you or desires from you or has designed you for. I don't know who God's going to put in your path that you can reach. I don't know how that's going to work and how that's going to look in your life. But hey, listen, there's some mamas in here that God has called them to raise some youngins in the nurture and admonition of the Lord so they know what Jesus looks like. Amen. There's some older people in here who God has called you to love on some younger people that don't look like you look and don't talk like you talk and don't think like you think so that you can raise some Christians who will do something for God. There's some young adults in here who God has called to be the light of this world. And are you listening to me? God has called us and we need to answer the call.
Amen.
Just like Jeremiah. There's a call to be answered.
Go to verse number 17. That's where we're going to preach at this morning.
My wife told me I need to quit saying I'm trying to hurry because I ain't really trying to hurry. So I'm going to quit saying
and I never started doing it. So verse number 17. God's just told Jeremiah, He said, hey, I'm calling you and it's going to be tough. Check this out. Verse number 17. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to delve into your word. I pray you would make preaching what you want it to be this morning. God, send the power into this place that we may be changed. God, strengthen, encourage, embolden, Lord, and embed yourself into your people in such a way that, God, we can answer the call this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Does everybody awake this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
If you came to church this morning to get something from God's word, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, listen.
We're going to have to answer the call in our day. Notice verse number 17, the first half of verse number 17. As God is telling Jeremiah, this is what it's going to take. This is what you're going to face in answering the call. Notice what he tells him. He gives him three commands. And I want to give this to the church. If some of y'all are, here's where some of y'all are at. I see this so much, but here's where some of y'all are at. You are right standing on the edge of actually becoming active, what I would call actively involved in the ministry. What is the ministry? The kingdom. Doing something for God. Here's the line, and you're right here. And you're wanting to go across the line. You're wanting to step out into this thing. But you don't know where to start. Look what God told Jeremiah. In verse number 17, first of all, he said, prepare yourself. Notice what he said, gird up thy loins.
I can say it like this. Put your big boy britches on. Here's what he told Jeremiah. Hey, bud, get ready. Can I tell you something about answering the call of God in this dark world? You better prepare yourself, because it ain't all going to be pretty. Are you hearing me? The Bible says that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I'm telling you right now, Jeremiah, God said you better prepare yourself. Get ready. Get serious. Gird up your loins. That girding of the loins is not only a picture of getting yourself prepared to go forth. It's a picture of getting yourself prepared in a mild sense of being prepared for battle. What do you mean? That was a protective garment that was being placed upon him. God was saying, you better be ready. Protect yourself. He was telling him, I think about sometimes like the instructions at the beginning of a boxing match. Y'all ever heard that? The referee says, protect yourself at all times. Hey, Christian, I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to learn how to get yourself protected at all times. I wouldn't go out into this world without the protecting hand of God. Prepare yourself. Yeah, you say, preacher, why should we come on a Sunday night and learn more about our Bible so you can be prepared? Present yourself. Look what he says. Gird up thy loins and arise. Prepare yourself. Present yourself. You know, there's an old saying that says this, half a life is just showing up. Yeah. Can I tell you something? A lot of Christianity, a lot of serving God is just presenting yourself. Showing up. I had this conversation with somebody the other day about church, and they're trying to get right with God, and got a lot of things that they're working through, and I ask them the same question I would ask anybody, which is, are you going to church? Oh, well, you know, people get uncomfortable when you say that. Well, you know, I visited this one and I've done this and that. Hey, listen to me now. Just hear me out right here. If Jesus instituted the church, He's the one that said, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If Jesus instituted the church, how are you going to maintain a relationship with Him? By the way, so what did Jesus call the church? His bride. If Jesus instituted the church and Jesus sees the church as His bride, then how are you going to maintain a relationship with Jesus and not maintain a relationship with the church? That don't make no sense. Present yourself, Christian. You know what? Listen, don't tell me you're a Christian and the only place you're ever a Christian is at the house. I mean, listen, I ain't saying that you got to go to church to be saved, but I'm saying that saved people go to church.
Amen.
Amen. Don't tell me that you're serving God and you can't even get up on Sunday morning and present yourself at the house of God to meet with the brothers and sisters, in Christ, that you can learn about God, that you can be, listen, what do we do in this place? We open up the Bible and we teach and preach so that you have tools and mechanisms to apply the Word of God to your life so that you can do something for God. But you got to present yourself. You got to show up. A lot of reason a lot of us don't never do nothing for God is because we're too busy doing everything else. We're so worried about everything else we can't show up. Notice what he said. Gird up thy loins, arise, and speak.
I tell you what some of us need to do this week. I'm going to preach my message. But I want to get through this right here. I tell you what some of us need to do this week. God's just burdened my heart with this. And I'm one of them. Okay, let me be clear. There's specific instances that God's putting on my own heart. But I tell you what some of us need to do this week is speak. Speak up. I'm not telling you to go out here and dog out the first person you see that don't look like a Christian. That's not at all what I'm talking about. But there are situations in everybody's life in this room that need the truth to be spoken into them. Some of y'all have people in your life that you are actively enabling them to keep their distance from God because you won't speak up. Because you won't say to them, Jesus loves you. Hey, listen, it's, when we talk about speaking up, I want to be real careful right here. Because to speak up doesn't always mean to tell somebody else that they're wrong. Tell you what, a lot of times speaking up in the life of a Christian looks like it meaning that you've been wrong. Hey, some of us probably need to speak up and make amends with somebody that's going to die and go to hell because they the devil's give them a Christian to hate because we've been such a jerk to them. Hey, that's good practical preaching right there. You can take it or leave it. Some of us call ourselves serving God, but there's a whole host of people that will probably never walk into a church because of the way that we treat them. Hey, speak. You say, what are we supposed to speak? Check out what he told him. This is good. Because here's what we want to do. Here's what we want to do now. When we want to speak up and speak out, here's the basis of our speech. Whatever I think. Let me tell you what I think. Let me tell you what my opinion. But I want you to look what he told Jeremiah. He said, speak what I have commanded you. I tell you what you better do. If you're going to speak up and speak out in this world, you better be speaking the word of God. Amen. Hey, don't tell me what you think. Don't tell me what some kind of what you got in a dream. And look up in here. You better be speaking the word of God. If it don't line up with this book, we just talked about it this morning, Fresh Starters class, biblical authority. We believe the Bible is the authority in all matters of faith and practice. That is to say, and if it don't line up with this book, it ain't right. Amen. That's all it is to it. It ain't the word of God. And when you say, preacher, what do we speak? Speak this. And can I tell you something really and true? The real problem with modern day Christianity, the real truth of it is, the reason why we are not speaking the word of God into this world is because we don't know nothing about it.
Amen.
Our knowledge of God's word is so shallow that we don't have the ability to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. Most Christians, I know this is true. From experience. This is experiential knowledge that I have that I'm going to give you, and then I'm going to get to my message. Most Christians, this is going to convict some people in this room, and it needs to. Most Christians, if somebody asks you tomorrow, are you saved? And you said yes, and the next question they asked was, how did that happen? You wouldn't be able to give an answer. Most people, most Christians, would not be able to answer for how it is that they got born again. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm saying they don't know enough to tell somebody else how that happened so that it can happen to them. So what do we speak to the world? What God has commanded us.
We gotta hear it to speak it. Answering the call. Let's get into it this morning. Everybody ready? Say amen.
Amen.
What are we facing when we answer the call? What are we going to experience when we answer the call? Might be somebody this morning that just decides, today's going to be the day. I'm going to gird up my loins. I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to answer the call of God. Hey, by the way, for some of us that means I'm going to get some things in my life right. Don't run up here and tell me God's called you to preach. And you got your whole life out of whack.
Listen, that ain't what we're talking about. We're not gonna be foolish. But some of us need to take a stand.
What we're gonna face when we do that? First of all, I see this: the disdain of the heathen. Look at verse number 17 and the back half right there. Here's what he told Jeremiah after he told him to speak whatever he commanded him. Here's what he told him: and be not dismayed at their faces. Back up to verse number 8. Look what he says. Be not afraid of their faces.
Listen closely. And y'all listen fast. I'm going to preach fast, okay? Let me help you with something right here. Say, preacher, I want to go
speak up for God. That's what we've been talking about since the beginning of the year. All of this stuff about evangelism we're talking about, this ain't just talking into the air. We're talking about speaking up for God in the world. But hear me out right here. Of course they're not going to like it. Are you hearing me? You are fooling yourself if you think that the message of truth is ever going to be the most popular avenue. The world has always hated the truth. The truth has always been in opposition to the world. That's the way it's always been. Jesus said they hated me. They're going to hate you. Listen to me. I just quoted it a while ago. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The way that it's going to be, they're never going to like it. It's not as if you are going to go out here and take a stand for Jesus, and that's going to cause you to become celebrated and popular in this world. As a matter of fact, if you look around and the world outside of God's people begins to lift you up, you better get checked something up, or something ain't right. You probably, listen, I'd be real careful about that. Fame and popularity is not a sign that God is blessing you. Most time it's a sign that you done got off track. Are you listening to me? The disdain of the heathen. He told Jeremiah, he said, be not dismayed at their faces. You say, why? Because their faces weren't going to show that they liked it. Their faces were going to show him that the message of truth was not popular. Never has been. It ain't going to be. But I'll tell you this about the truth. It's a whole lot simpler.
Amen.
The truth of God's word is so much simpler than the chaos of this world. Mm-hmm. The truth of God's word. I heard somebody say one time, if you tell the truth, it's easier to remember. Man, that's a whole lot. There's something to that. The truth is a whole lot simpler. Not only that, but hear me out right here. The truth is a whole lot more effective. I've told a whole lot of people what I think. Listen to me, and it ain't had no effect on them. But I preached the word of God to people who I thought weren't even paying attention to what I said and watched God get a hold of their lives. Hey, the truth is a lot more effective. It's a lot more powerful. The truth is a lot more fulfilling. Hey, listen to me. I sleep a whole lot better knowing when I lay my head down on the pillow at night that I am following after the truth. And not after a lie. Hey, listen, it's a lot more fulfilling. My life is so much more full. I say it all the time. But the cross is not a minus sign. It's a plus sign. Jesus didn't come to take away from your life. He came to add to your life. The Bible says, I have come that you might have joy. Listen, and that you might have it more abundantly. Listen to me. The truth is more fulfilling than this world. This world will never fulfill you. There's a void in you that can never be filled by the things of this world, but the truth will fulfill it. I tell you what the Bible says about the truth. It'll set you free.
Amen.
It's more useful. The Bible's got the answers to every question that the world don't have the answers to.
Amen.
What about this, that, and the other? The Bible's got the answer. I tell you something about this Bible that sets it apart. Is that it is life changing.
Amen.
You go to Rocky Mount right now. The book's a million. That's the closest bookstore I know of. That tells you how much I know. And you go in there, and there's a whole section in there, probably one of the biggest sections in the store, of books, self-help books. Mm-hmm. 10 steps to have more money. 5 ways to be happier. 7 steps to a better marriage. I tell you what it solve all of them problems. Some of us just need to take however many steps is between us and this altar.
Amen.
You get right with God.
Amen.
Let God handle some of that.
Amen.
The truth, I tell you what the truth will do. It'll change you.
Amen.
You begin to submit yourself to the truth of God's word, it'll change your life in a way that is permanent. In a way that can't be undone. But the world's never going to like it. They're not supposed to like it. Light and darkness ain't supposed to get along. They're not supposed to dwell together.
light overcomes darkness.
The disdain of the heathen.
But I want you to see this, the defenses of the Lord. Look at verse number 18. For behold, I've made thee this day a defensed city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land. He has built for us, God has designed for us, a system for our protection. A defended or defensed city. That is to say, a refuge of safety within the will of God. Let me say it like this. There can't nothing overcome you when you are operating in His will, because there can't nothing overcome Him.
Amen.
Amen.
If I am operating in the will of God, the world cannot overcome me because He's already overcome the world. Hey, listen, this is a reality that we need to understand. The defenses of God exist within the will of God. And when we are operating our life within the will of God, and we are willing to speak up for God and do what God has called us to do, you are never in a more safe position than you are in the direct will of God, because what God has decided, it's going to happen whether anybody likes it or not. And what God, listen, because God's open doors and no man can close them. And God's closed doors and no man can open them. Therefore, when we are operating in the will of God, we cannot be overcome.
Amen.
That don't mean I can tell you what the outcome of it's going to be.
But I can tell you this. A person, I hear these stories about missionaries go to some foreign field and something happens and they end up dying. I can guarantee you this. That man, when he gave his last breath, he wasn't wondering if it was his time or not. You hear me? The protecting hand of the will of God gives us peace. It gives us security. It does not, hey listen, it doesn't always give us safety in the sense that we see safety. We view safety as nothing bad's going to happen. But hear me, we preached the other week on Matthew 7, the wise man built his house upon a rock, but the storm still came.
I know this ain't real deep, but y'all just stay with me.
The defenses of the Lord. Notice the type of enemy from whom the Lord is willing to defend us. First of all, the first one, he says, brazen walls against the whole land. That's the popular enemy. I told you a while ago the church ain't supposed to be
winning popularity contests. Can I say it like this? There's a lot more people out there than there is in here. But hey, listen, we're going to trust the Lord to keep them out there and us in here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The popular enemy. The whole land. God said, hey, I built you defenses against the mob. The big group.
Popular crowd. I say, preacher, but if I don't say this, then I won't be popular. Hey, listen.
I tell you what you better do. You better stick to the truth of God.
Amen.
Let the popular crowd worry about themselves. Listen to this, the kings of Judah and the princes thereof. That's the prominent enemy. Those that are in charge.
I remember when COVID hit and I watched a bunch of, y'all okay?
Good.
I watched a bunch of limp-wristed, yellow-bellied preachers kowtowing to a bunch of elected officials. Let me say this about that. Hey, listen, whether they got my vote or not, they don't own me.
Amen.
Hey, listen, look up in here. I tell you what the name is on the deed to this land, Down East Baptist Church Incorporated. You hear me? Ain't no, Wilson County don't own this church. We don't take our orders from the White House, the State House, the governor's mansion, or the mayor's house. You hear me? Hey, listen to me. God's protection protects us from the prominent ones, them who want to take their influence and use it to influence the people of God. I'm about sick of that. I'm over it.
Here's what they said. You better do what we tell you or else.
Thank God that Paul didn't kowtow until they told him they was going to cut his head off. You know how much of our New Testament that we currently have that was written by the hand of Paul in a prison cell awaiting execution? Thank God that he didn't say, you know what, I'm going to quit. Don't cut the head off. God defended it. I tell you what God did. He said, how much time did God give him? Exactly how much he needed. He knew the job that God called him to do. And then he went to glory.
The whole land, the kings and priests, the popular enemy, the prominent enemy. What about this? The priest. Look what he says. Against the priest thereof. That's the religious enemy.
That's the religious crowd. I'm about over preaching on them because they've about extincted themselves. This is the way we're going to have church because this is the way my great-grandmama had church, and she's buried out back and it's dead. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, but we ain't never going to change. Let's have another deacon's meeting crowd. They've about extincted themselves. Thank God he's protected some folks from that. You ought to thank God that he's protected you from that.
Amen.
You could be sitting in one of them right now.
That's right.
Going like, you could be sitting in one right now like this. This is what it's going to be like. What do you say? Huh? Okay. You ought to thank God. Really. This ain't about me. I'm not tooting my horn here, because I could replace me with 100 other preachers and say the same thing right now, but you ought to thank God that you ain't in a dead, dried up, sleeping center this morning.
Amen.
My soul. Gas is too high to drive to a dead church. Somebody will say amen out there.
Amen.
Life is too short to suffer through being saved.
God defends us from the religious enemy, and then look what he says, and against the people of the land. That's the regular enemy. That's the day-to-day. That's that guy on your job site that you really know that God's leaning on you to talk to him about the Lord, but you're scared of what's going to happen when you do. That's the regular enemy. That's the when you're standing in line at the grocery store and you feel that nudge, and you got some of these in your pocket. You got some of these in your pocket because you've been listening to the preacher.
Yeah.
And they're sitting all over the pews in here. So you got some of them in your pocket. And God nudges your heart. And you say, I don't know what's going to happen when I invite this person to church. That's the regular enemy. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
I'm talking about the defenses of God. Here's how God's watching out for us. Everybody okay?
Amen.
The regular enemy. I'm talking about that stuff you look at on here that you ain't supposed to look at. The regular enemy. Thank God for the defenses of God.
Then I'll give you this and I'll be done. The deliverance of the Lord.
Check this out. Verse number 19. They shall fight against thee. They shall fight against thee. Notice that word shall. That's an important word. They shall fight against thee. Hey, y'all, this is the way it's always going to be. There ain't no way around it. Check this out. But they shall not prevail against thee.
Amen.
There are always going to be forces opposed to the propagation of the gospel and the truth of God. They've been fighting that battle since the very beginning. But there is one thing that all the enemies of God have in common, and I submit to you this morning, that is that they are losers. They lose. Amen. The enemies of God, here's what they do that I know for sure that they do, is they lose. They don't win. They have yet to defeat God. They will fight. They will attack. But thank God they will not prevail. Look what your Bible says, for I am with thee, saith the Lord.
to deliver thee. He is with us, actively delivering us. Deliverance is not some kind of a ceremony where you get together and slap each other in the head and fall out on the floor and get delivered from the devil of the flu. Listen to me. Deliverance is the active power of God involved in your life day to day. Do you realize how much the devil would have destroyed you if it were not for the active deliverance of God? Do you realize how much this world would have taken you down if God wasn't holding you up? Woo! Hallelujah! Do you realize how bad it could be if not for the helping hand of the Lord? How far you could be gone if not for God's hand delivering you in your life? He told Jeremiah, he said, here's the deal. They're going to fight. You're going to face opposition. But I'm coming with you.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm going to deliver you. You know what delivery means? You know what deliverance really let me define it for you. When you deliver something, that means you get it to where it's supposed to be going. Hey, listen. I don't know what the path is going to look like all the way through. I don't know every opposition I'm going to face and every enemy I'm going to fight. I don't know every battle I'm going to face. I don't know which ones I'm going to, where I'm going to prevail and where I'm going to fall. And I don't know how hard it's going to be and how good or how bad it's going to be. But here's what I'm trusting in the Lord. That He's just going to get me to where I'm supposed to end up. That He's going to deliver me to the address that I'm supposed to get to. Hallelujah. And in the end, I will be delivered. Because Jesus said He's prepared a place for me. Hey, listen to me right now. I feel like Psalm 23. That place is prepared in the presence of my enemies. You hear what I'm saying? I'm living life surrounded by enemies, but I have the delivering hand of God that's going to get me to the place where Jesus has prepared for me.
Amen. Amen.
The deliverance of God means we're going to get where we're supposed to go if we just answer the call. For some of us in this room, maybe that the call that you need to answer is a call to salvation. Maybe somebody in this room that say there's never been a time in my life when I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I've never been born again. I don't know for sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. God is calling you. So how do you know, preacher? Because you're here. Of all the places in the world that you could be, you're here. That's how I know. Some of you, God's placed a calling beyond salvation in your life. Some of y'all, God is calling you to holiness. And the reason why you're not actively accomplishing anything for God is because there's a lack of holiness in your life. Here's what I'm saying. There's some stuff you need to get right that you know you need to get right that's stopping you from going any further.
Amen.
And then some of you, God is calling you, like Jeremiah, to take a stand, to become involved, to do the work of ministry, to go deeper. To go further. To open up your Bible. To learn. To study. To pray. To worship. I believe that there's a bunch of people in this room that here's a calling of God on your life. Some of y'all, if you would just say amen when the preacher preaches, it would change your life.
Amen.
I mean, really.
Amen.
Trust me. Come take it from somebody who knows. If you just get just that small level of involvement, it'd change the way you hear the preaching. Some of you, if you would just open up your Bible tomorrow morning, if you would just open it up and read till you get done reading, chapter, a verse, a book, whatever, it'd change your life.
about the calling of God. I'm hung up right here. Some of you, if you just take one of these and just break the ice, hand it to somebody, it'll change your life. It'll change the way. The first time that you invite somebody to church, a lost person, and they show up and get saved, and that life begins to change, it'll change your life.
Amen.
It'll change the way you view what goes on in this place.
We need to answer the call this morning. I want you to stand together.